Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Spotsylvania School Budget, our main focus this morning. We welcome back to the program. Spotsylvania School Superintendent Scott Baker is back with us. Dr. Baker, good to have you here this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks, Ted. It's
been a while since we have seen you, and also School Board Vice Chairwoman Amanda Blaylock is here. Amanda, good to see you again.
Good morning, Ted.
Dr. Baker, just seems like we've talked about this before. About the budget isn't just something that you start working on in the early part of the year, maybe when it gets presented to the Board of Supervisors or the school board and the Board of Supervisors, but you and your staff are working on this all year round now.
Right. It is continuous, and I think it always has been, but I think in this era of constrained resources and fiscal uncertainty, we're always working on targeting the resources the best that we can, reallocating as appropriate. And I think this is no different. As I've gone around to meet with different staff members and community groups, I referenced that last week was Groundhog Day. And if you've ever seen the film Groundhog Day, sometimes budget season, it's starting to have that feel that we've been here before, and it looks very similar. And in fact, one of our directors of finance, his name is Phil. So it has really felt that way. But I do feel very blessed to have such a strong staff that works so diligently, as well as a school board that continues to understand the big picture of what we're trying to accomplish as a school division. And the budget is all about our strategic plan. It's all about being able to enact the things that are going to help us better serve our students.
I will tell you, LaShawn Gaines, who is kind of the point person with the numbers for the school board and with you and always is talking, boy, is she a sharp person. Yes. There are just, no matter who is questioning her, she is just unflappable and knows her stuff. I watch her at meetings and just think she is just one remarkable person.
Yeah, she's been our chief financial officer for over a decade now, and she really does understand the numbers intricately, especially given how large our budget is and how complex the operations are for a school division our size. And she does a really good job of processing that information, communicating it. In fact, there are two processes that we have, Ted, internally that help us to continue to vet our budget challenges. And one is our audit and finance committee, and another is our local finance board. And both of those are advisories that she facilitates and leads. For her and our finance team, again, it's a 24/7 operation in terms of management, especially this time of year.
And I was, Amanda, at the last work session that the school board had, and you should mention that you've got another one tonight. In the last few years, you have broadcast or streamed all your work sessions. So anybody who's got budget questions or want something answered, or it's instructive to watch it. But you questioned her in the last meeting about a couple of things that were real pointed, and I thought, oh, that's, that was a tough question. And she answered it just as smooth as can be.
I do. I tend to be direct in my questions. And if you watched, at the end, I thank them for their work. And they're always prepared for those direct questions, because sometimes when you're rolling up your sleeves to do the work on this budget and really having to decide what you're going to, where you're going to put the funds for the year, tough questions have to be asked. And that's one thing I really appreciate about Dr. Baker and his staff. They're prepared for those tough questions. They understand that it is our job as a governing body to do our due diligence. And that's exactly what it is. So it certainly isn't directed at her. I couldn't be more proud of our CFO. You're exactly right. She is unflappable because she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
It's very simple. She's a sharp numbers lady, and she has done a wonderful job for us. She's been here. She was here like a year before I have. So she and I have worked for about 10 years together.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I have never worked with anybody as organized and as on point as she is. And you can imagine, as a school board member, how comforting that is to never have to question what the numbers are that are being brought to you. So she's there for me when I have the tough questions, and I do have the tough questions. But she also has the answers.
Dr. Baker, you talked in your when you gave the school the message and gave this budget to the school board a couple weeks ago. You talked a lot about employees and how important to, behind all the numbers, ultimately, they're teachers or the parateachers or the bus drivers or the cafeteria workers, and not to lose sight that you're only as good as those people that are dealing with the kids.
I'll just echo what you just said. We are only as good and are only going to be as effective as the people that we invest in, and the majority of our operational budget. The vast majority of that is an investment in salaries and benefits for the people that provide an invaluable service to our students and our community. And I think, as I've explained to different faculties when I go around and speak, it's hard for people to understand the groundhog scenario where every year we're trying to find a way to provide a what is just a reasonable salary increase that used to be a part of the natural course of a budget, which was a step schedule. And the challenge now is that we have costs that are rising faster and at a higher rate than the revenue that we're receiving. And so each year we are trying to make that a priority. In fact, we build it in as a budgetary assumption. Not everyone agrees with that, but I did urge the board, especially now where I'm concerned that there are less and less young folks entering the field. And some of it is the uncertainty, some of it is the amount of work and complexity and demands and challenges for the for the amount of pay that probably doesn't seem as though it's going to be economically feasible for folks starting families. And so I do believe that it's both the economic piece of investing, that it's good for those employees and their families, but it's also a message, a very important message right now that we can't do what we do without the people delivering the services. And so we have to continue to let them know. And that is one small way that we let them know that what they do for us and for our students is critical.
One thing you don't think about, because I know in the spring you'll have the, when you bring the prospective teachers in and have those days, you used to be able to fill things out. And I know that that's gotten tougher of prospective teachers. But I'm sure you're also, as you put a budget together and as it goes through the process, people that may be prospective teachers are watching what's going on and watching the message you give and the message that the county gives.
Well, I try to view it having, I began my career as a paraprofessional and then became a teacher. And one thing that does matter to employees, though they may not all be vocal about it, it does matter how they're represented. It does matter that in a way we carry mantra as educational leaders in the school board. We make sure that their voices are heard even when they're not, out in the forefront. And it does make a difference to know that your work is appreciated when you are, up at dawn and you are continuing to work well into the evening. It's good to know that people recognize that and recognize that contribution. And sometimes that means more than monetary compensation, but certainly the message that we're going to make this a priority because what you do is a priority for us and for our school division.
We were talking budget this morning, the Spotsylvania school budget specifically. Dr. Scott Baker here as school board vice chairwoman. Amanda Blaylock is here. We'll get into a lot of the nuts and bolts of this when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania School Superintendent Scott Baker here, along with School Board Vice Chairwoman Amanda Blaylock. Boy, Amanda, for the school board members, we're talking about the budget in Spotsylvania this morning with the school. We talk about all the work that the staff puts together and put all this together. Then the school board, in just really a few weeks, you have several work sessions, and then you put it all together, and it gets sent off to the Board of Supervisors, and they ultimately decide funding.
Well, they do, and they're such a big part of our funding. The local money is something we're very dependent on. in Spotsylvania County. And you're right, even this evening we go into a big budget work session. And on February the 13th, we will be approving our budget as the Spotsylvania County School Board. And then it moves on to presenting it to the school, to our Board of Supervisors on the 28th of February. And then we go on and do some joint work sessions with our Board of Supervisors. But you're exactly right. Right now is really when the ball starts rolling. I think we have meetings almost every week up until May, right after the Cortland hearing that we have every year at Cortland High School, where the Board of Supervisors will take questions from the community. Then we tend to wind down, and hopefully the school board adopts the budget in its entirety on May the 1st of this year. So between today and May the 1st, a lot of work will go into this.
Well, and a lot of moving parts, because you're waiting for the to hear from the General Assembly what they decide, and that won't be decided for
That's not decided for a while. And our state numbers are not coming in quite as well as we had hoped. And to be honest with you, even after it's adopted on May the 1st, we're still waiting on finalized numbers. It's about the fall before we get things really in stone. Because we just can't, you know, predict everything at that time. Mm-hmm. We get some funding from the state, very small amount from federal and grants, but our biggest transfer is from our local transfer, and that's where we depend on working with our Board of Supervisors and their funding of us. So, again, we're starting the process where we're going to ask them to support public schools.
Dr. Baker, this year's budget, you want to just run down some highlights or things that you see in it? As I recall, the overall, there's about a $6 million gap that somehow has to be figured out.
Right. Between last year and this year, what we saw, at least initially in the governor's budget, and we're continuing to follow the General Assembly as far as their the activity there and the progress there, but essentially the additional amount of state money that we received this year was about $2 million. But our increase of the rate for Virginia retirement costs was at 11%, which was about $2.3 million. So just that alone wiped out really any state increase. So then you begin with trying to manage your mandatory costs, and those mandatory costs that are again hitting us hard, similar to the past couple of years, are our health insurance increases, premium increases, as well as the Virginia retirement system cost. And what that does is it makes it difficult to add anything to your budget, especially when your overall enrollment, which ours is, has been declining slightly for the last 2 years, which means we ultimately receive less state money than we could. So it's trying to manage those mandatory costs. And then what we are proposing right now is to still be able to maintain our focus on providing annual pay increases to our staff. And so there is a 2% pay increase in there. There's some other highlights in the budget. Some of them are part of reallocations or funded, such as an activity bus pilot and an expansion of one of our special education programs that really is a part of continuing to expand and support our increasing special education population across the school division. So those are ultimately the highlights, and we do have some, we tried last year, but we ultimately had to back off on some of the requests to increase stipends for our employees, coaching and academic stipends, but that is back in this year's proposal, as well as continuing to decrease the amount of the activity fee, which can sometimes be hard on many of our families, especially those that play multiple sports. And it's also a message that we want our students to participate and provide that for them, as opposed to them having to pay a lot of money to participate.
Yeah, but when Dr. Baker gave his budget, Amanda, when he mentioned activity buses, that's been one of your passions, and I knew that your ears perked up at that moment.
They do. Activity buses have been a passion of mine. I wasn't in favor, if you remember when they were done away with a few years back, I wasn't in favor of it then, so I've always been ready to try that again. And so I was glad to see that Dr. Baker has put together a pilot program that will start what I would call almost slow, meaning that not all schools will have them. I believe we're going to work in the Livingston, Berkeley areas at first, and then we'll hopefully grow from that point. I believe that activity buses not only serve a purpose that's very advantageous for sports, but I never fought for them for that reason. I actually remember the after-school tutorial programs and the extra time with the teachers that students would get. I remember specifically at Thornburg Middle School, there was this program called the STAR program where teachers absolutely gave their time and their talents to stay till 5 o'clock every day to tutor or mentor students who were struggling in the classroom. And that activity bus was full every single day. And I would say as much with academic-based students that were staying after for those reasons as we were sports. You also had fine arts programs that were able to stay after, whether it be music or whatnot that the child has chosen to do. And it's just very, very helpful to be able to have those extra hours outside the structured classroom time sometimes. So I was excited to see that is back on the table. Unfortunately, you have to say when you say that if I'm being smart about this, right now it's not a done deal. Everything on this budget still has the ability to be cut or moved, depending on kind of how the funds are looking. So you've always got to keep in mind this budget is what our hopes and our dreams are, and they're far beyond this. But at this time, we're not for sure that we will be able to approve that, but it is our hope to approve a pilot program for activity buses. And yes, I was very excited about that. Actually, also to add, I was excited, if you notice, we're going to attempt to add the cafeteria monitors on the elementary level. That's 17 elementary schools that will be served now. And that has been something that's been on the table, just like the activity buses. Very, very important. Things have different price tags and serve different levels of students, but they're all just as important. And so the cafeteria monitors coming back to the elementary level is quite a big deal as well.
Because teachers have been doing that, right?
Well, they do. They're our paraprofessionals. And what you have to do is pull them off whatever they're doing. Yeah. And what this will do is free up the paraeducators and our teachers to continue with their work throughout the day and not have to stop to do the cafeteria monitoring, which is a must at the elementary level. So this is going to be something very different for us, that these are strictly employees that we will be hiring to work in the cafeteria only. They will not be employees that are fanned out into other duties such as bus duty, et cetera. They will strictly be cafeteria workers, and we're going to look to add allergy training to this. So I think we'll even be more efficient in our cafeterias as they run. If you can imagine, you know, feeding anywhere from 500 to 600, in some cases 700 students in a day, breakfast and lunch, in the small time that we have them, I think this will help it be more efficient as well.
Well, I know a few weeks ago, Dr. Baker, Sheriff Decatur from Stafford was here, and we were talking just about it all comes back to state funding, because he was talking about if the state and the compensation board was, for his department, was funding them the way they should for the population, he'd have 13 more deputies. And I know as you're the same way. If the state were able to fund you like a growing, in a fast growing locality like Spotsylvania, we would have a lot less sleepless nights.
Agreed. And I did want to say Ms. Blaylock was right. I forgot to mention the cafeteria monitors.
Yeah.
And that has been one that usually when I go around and I speak to teachers and staffs, they don't clap at anything that I share with the budget, you know, usually because it's not always good news. But that one has drawn applause at the elementary schools. So I appreciate her bringing that up. No, one of the central messages in this year's proposal is that there comes a point where you have to acknowledge what I refer to as the brutal facts, Jim Collins' language, that we have not really recovered. From the state perspective, the amount of general fund revenue that goes to public schools is significantly less, and it has never really been recouped or been put back out to the public schools as it had been prior to the recession. And it does put a strain on the local side as well. And so that is really where it begins. And I think that that's something that we continue to advocate for, because we have not only good schools in Spotsylvania County, but in the Commonwealth of Virginia, we have an education system that we can be very proud of. But it does need to continue to be funded, and it needs to be funded at a level that it continues to improve and increase in quality. Because sometimes I think the idea that just staying as we are is going to be maintaining, but usually you begin to decline after a while in quality, especially if it's just a one-year-at-a-time budget proposition. And so I'm hoping that we continue both with lawmakers and folks in the General Assembly, as well as at the local level, that we begin to look further out than a year at a time so that we can plan for all the needs that we have. And we share in a lot of needs. And I think you mentioned the Sheriff's Department. We are we have a very important partnership with our Sheriff's Department, with our school resource officers. So their ability to have all they need for public safety and to still be able to support the large number of schools that we have is very important, and you can't do that without state funding.
Well, and you think about just technology, how quickly technology changes, and I see you can't stay kind of static in the technology realm.
No, that's a good point. I think, and sometimes I think there's a perception of once you've bought it, you're good. You know, you've invested in technology, therefore you don't need to invest again. Didn't you purchase a large number of technology tools 3, 5, 7 years ago? But not only do you have to continue to keep up with what is going to be most applicable and most effective in a classroom setting, you also, not just for efficiency's sake, you have to replace and keep up with outdated equipment. And so I think it's trying to manage both of those processes that's important.
We're talking about the Spotsylvania school budget this morning. More coming up on Town Talk. Dr. Scott Baker here from the Spotsylvania School Superintendent and School Board Vice Chairwoman Amanda Blaylock. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We're coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shule.
The Spotsylvania school budget, our focus this morning with School Superintendent Dr. Scott Baker and School Board Vice Chairwoman Amanda Blaylock. Dr. Baker, you mentioned it a few minutes ago, and you made a big point of it the other night when you did your budget about the fact that Things really changed as far as funding for anything in local government in 08 when the recession hit. And you kind of touched on it last year about this is the new normal, but you really hammered it home this year of it's not coming back, and we have to realize that going forward.
Right. I think in part of that is that we have to operate effectively in the new norm. I think it's not just to let people know, including the school board, that our funding levels don't appear to be coming back to where they were pre-recession anytime soon. But it's also to signal that we have to continue to forge ahead in this new norm. We can't just wait and say, well, maybe in next year's budget we will have more money to do many of the things. We have to continue to maximize what we have. And that was part of the message about continuing to keep a sharp focus on investing in our people, because that is one thing that's a certainty right now, is that the majority of our work is going to be done through our staff. And so we have to continue to keep that focus. But we also have to continue to not just work harder, but work smarter and find more ways to maximize and utilize the resources that we have. And so a lot of that comes back to what I mentioned earlier about, as we look at our strategic plan, making sure that we're very intentional in how we target and allocate resources.
Amanda, because you've talked about it in this show, you've talked about it in school board meetings, how when you were elected to the school board, you had one good year money came in. And when Dr. Baker the other night said, this is what we have to work with, and this is we have going forward, I could just imagine you going, oh, I wanted more years of having more money.
You did. I was fortunate enough to, the first year I was elected, the recession had not hit. And it was a time we had a regional autism center on the table. We had blueprints of elementary 18 already on the table. We were looking at expanding Thornburg Middle. There was a whole wing going to be built. So it was things that were made like that were on the table that we were all really aggressively working towards. And so we were very excited. And the next year, we all know what happened. And of course, things had to be pulled off the table and they haven't returned. But I will say, if you listen to the budget presentation the other night, you have to just swell with pride listening to the advancements in we've still made with what we've done less with. You know, for example, the 5% rise in the on-time graduation rate since 2012. That's the time the recession was hit. So if you listen to the strides we've made, these are things I was looking for back in the year that we had the money, and we weren't making these strides. So it's just proves the quality of people we have. So imagine what we could do, with more funding when we're already having such increases and making such great strides in Spotsylvania County with what little funding we're dealing with today. And I would say that it's very careful. If you heard me talking to the Board of Supervisors last year, one of them asked a specific question to tell them what was mandated. They didn't want to know what our wants were. They want to know what we had to have. And I would caution that question, because it you've got to be careful. Schools aren't mandated to have buses. We're not mandated to have transportation.
Really?
No, we are not. We're not mandated to have nurses. There's things that we would absolutely not run our school division without, because we know that it's a necessity for our families and our community to have the most success as a student could have is, of course, getting them there safely and on time. And nurses, if you think of the serious allergies we have, the serious illnesses that we're dealing with our students. When you have almost 24,000 students, we've had story after story of a nurse that has either completely saved the life or has really been, the key point into getting the child help when they've had an asthma attack or something of that nature.
When my son was dealing with, was recovering mm-hmm. from in treatment for leukemia, the school nurse at Harrison Road was just she was just like a member of the family, because he would go down there and just sit for a while when he didn't feel good. And to think that there wouldn't have been a nurse around.
Nurses are heroes to me anyway. Yeah. But imagine the children that are dealing with serious illnesses such as your son did. And to think that that is not a mandated cost, that no one's funding that specifically and saying, oh, here you go. Hire, make sure there's a lot of nurses. So be careful asking the school division to come in with what their mandates are only, because we would be losing out on things that I think would shock people. Even something as popular as sports, it's not mandated we have school sports, but in looking at the whole child, Spotsylvania mm-hmm. County is, we want to graduate students that compete, and I say this all the time, on the state level, the country level, and worldwide. With the implementation of the IB program, the AP capstone, the different programs we're doing for our high schoolers, that's part of the whole package. We want to offer them sports scholarships, fine art scholarships. We want to have every opportunity they can have, of course, including their academic scholarships and offering all the degrees that we offer at this point. We're somewhere I never dreamed we would be when I began on the school board in 2008. And that was the year we had money, remember. So we still have made wonderful strides. And that's why we work so hard and fight so hard to get out in the community, share with them what we're doing, and ask the local government to fund us. It is not something that is, I always say that it's hard for me to say, please give us money, because actually, as a board of supervisor, it is part of their umbrella to fund the public schools. I just ask that they please fund us well and make sure that we can keep all of the programs. We can start programs like the activity buses, and we can add cafeteria monitors at the elementary level. Like I say, just a few years ago, we were asking for a regional autism center. So there's still big dreams out there. But right now, we just need support for the things that we're asking for in the budget today. And with the strides we've made and the schools that we have, and if you ask around in the community, people like our schools. And it's because we have amazing staff working inside these schools, and children are learning, and they're coming out of our schools with competing with everyone else in the world and getting those scholarships and getting accepted into the colleges they wanted to, or going into the military or the workforce or a trade school, our career and tech center, just such a hidden gem in this community. We're trying to reach the whole child, and that's every aspect. And I think we're doing a fabulous job of that.
And I know that's, you have to be proud every year when you see where some of these kids are going, or in the case of even after you see when they get out of college what they end up doing.
And so many of them come right back in Spotsylvania County Schools and bring their talents here.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that. And you see that time and time again where we have graduates come back and want to work in the system where they were educated. We even have a school board member, my colleague, who is now the chairwoman, Ms. Erin Gramp, is a Spotsylvania product, who is very proud of her school system and talks about that quite a bit. It's just something that you are proud of. I say all the time that a payday for a school board member has nothing to do with monetary value. You, if you understand that school board members, I believe people think that we're on a full-time salary. That's not how it works, and we don't do it for that reason. The reason we're here is when we see those children succeed, walk across that stage, and regardless of if they have zero tassels, or if they're weighted down with medals, they have done what we've asked them to do, which mm-hmm. is get their education, prepare themselves for their next level in life, and we're just as proud of all of them. So yeah, that is a that is my most proud moment for sure.
Well, and a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, you know, it's money doesn't, you as far as the money goes, it's more, education is just more than money, but it does take money to fund everything we've talked about.
Well, that's someone who has not looked at a school budget and what it takes to run a school system. I would think they would want to perhaps get into a school and look at all of the things that we need to purchase for these kids. I mean, it takes money to do this for sure. I just am very proud that this division does what it does with the amount we get. That's why it's a passion of mine every year when this budget season kicks off and it's this time and we're kind of in the depths of it right now that I really passionately fight for all the funding that we can get. We don't have a lot of control over federal. Like I said, the state numbers aren't coming in like we wanted them to, but we are the largest entity in Spotsylvania County, and we're hoping that our local funding comes in really strong this year, and that's what I'm looking for.
Well, and so many teachers in so many classrooms do so, whether it's buying paper or buying things themselves.
Oh,
Or providing coats and shoes for kids that they see. There's just a lot of things that you don't see on the surface.
There's stories that out there that I hear of teachers pulling from their own pockets, and I really always appreciated the local PTOs and PTAs that get together and do help fund in the classrooms, because teachers will not let a child go hungry. They're going to pull out of their own pocket if they see someone that doesn't have lunch money, or if they see someone that doesn't have a coat. Even if they don't purchase it themselves, they're going to make sure that they find a coat for that child. Teachers are just amazing. And it's not just teachers. You'll find our bus drivers going above and beyond, our cafeteria workers, our staff, our paraeducators. If they see a need somewhere, they jump in and fix it. We truly love our students, and we take our responsibility of educating them very, very seriously. And it just amazes me that teachers, the nurses, from the principals, administrators, it's just a fine group that we work with in Spotsylvania County. And I'm very proud of everything that goes on in all of our buildings.
And one of the groups that gets forgotten a lot, you mentioned the bus drivers. I've gotten to know some bus drivers, mm-hmm. and boy, they love what they do. They love what
their
they
babies,
do.
Yeah.
Yes. And You've got a lot of bus drivers that have been around for a long time, and their route is their route.
Yeah, and I know that that's another area that when we talk about investing in our people and the messages we're sending, we, like many school divisions throughout the state, are struggling with a shortage of available bus drivers on a daily basis. And so we continue to not only try to recruit, but try to support and reward that work, which there's a lot of jobs in our field. You have a lot of people who do various things in this organization that would say, I don't know if I could do that job, you know, of being a bus driver with all that it requires today. And so, as Ms. Blaylock said, we are fortunate to have the quality of the folks that we have, and we need to continue to invest in them and support them.
We will wrap this up when we come back. Spotsylvania School Superintendent Scott Baker here, School Board Vice Chairwoman Amanda Blaylock. More coming up. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
The Spotsylvania school budget, our focus this morning with School Superintendent Scott Baker, also School Board Vice Chairwoman Amanda Blaylock here. The Spotsylvania school budget, Amanda, will be voted on Monday night, and then it goes to the Board of Supervisors. And that's where the way things are set up in Virginia, and if you're not aware of how things are set up in Virginia, school boards don't have taxing authority. So
right.
The money you get comes from the Board of Supervisors.
That's
and
right.
There will be you mentioned that there's always every year the big budget public hearing at Cortland High School. And if people are passionate about this and want to talk about how they think schools should be funded, that's where you can you can do it at that, or you can do it in front of the Board of Supervisors. But
that's
after
right.
Monday night, it's out of your hands.
Well, yes, it is. And I would say that it's also, this is the time to start speaking to your Board of Supervisors about what's important to you in your community. They have to fund all of us, safety, schools, everything. So that's all important to all of us. But it's time for you to speak out. They need to hear from you as a constituent as to what your desires are for your public school division. That's what I'm here to do. I'm elected to the school board, not the Board of Supervisors, so I'm not going to tell them how they should fund the entire county, but I will be not only hoping, but expecting them to want to fund their public school division, not only appropriately, but meet all the needs that we ask for this year as we approach them. But tonight, you can watch a work session at 7 p.m. If you don't know how to watch the school board, you can do it. If you have Comcast, we're channel 17. If you're Cox, we're channel 18. If you're Verizon, you're channel 36. But you can always watch from your computer by live streaming. Go mm-hmm. to our main webpage and look to the left, and it'll show you the link to watch us live. And I hear that's been quite helpful. So you can watch from anywhere you are. On the 13th, we will approve the school budget at our school board meeting. But then we move right on into working one-on-one with the Board of Supervisors. And the Cortland hearing that we keep talking about is March 28th this year at 6:30.
Okay.
And that's at Cortland High School. And that's something that we invite all the public out and to speak on behalf of public schools and to share your desire to make sure that we do get funded to our fullest, not only this year, but every year. Supporting public schools in your county is just extremely important. And this is the time to get your voice out and let your voice be heard by your elected officials.
Well, and you've talked here before about how this is, if there's an unpleasant part of what you do with the school board,
right.
You'd rather be working with the schools and with programs and looking at how
Absolutely.
To better programs, but to be able to do that, you got to do
right.
this.
You couldn't have said it better. Of course, this is not the most pleasant part of it, but this is exactly what I'm elected to do, is to make sure that we have the funds to offer those programs, that we're seeing successes with these students, or we're seeing someone who was struggling in math and after going through a program has come out on the other end, that they're not only successful, they're learning, but they're ready to move on to their next level in math. So we see little success stories every single day in thousands of kids, and that's what I work for. So even though this is not the most beautiful part of our job here, it's something I'm passionate about and I'm very serious about. If you want to have a good school system in your county, you fund them and you support them in all ways. And in Spotsylvania County, about 75% of our employees at Spotsylvania County Schools reside here. So if you think that we're the largest employer at over 3,000 employers in Spotsylvania County, the schools really are the heart of this community. And you know, I'm extremely proud of them, but we're such a large entity here. To not support them would just be a travesty. It's time that we make sure that we get out and speak to our elected officials, whether it be us on the school board or the Board of Supervisors, and talk about our wants and what you want to see in the public school division. And then we ask our Board of Supervisors to help us fund that.
And get involved in schools, too. I mean,
oh,
you,
yeah.
you don't have to even have kids in your school. If you live near a school and want to help out in some way, lots of opportunities for whether you're retired or whether you do have kids or whether you're going to have kids at that school. Get involved in schools. It'll change your perspective when you start working one-on-one with a lot of these people.
Absolutely, and I agree with what Ms. Blaylock shared. Sometimes when we begin to talk about school staff and school employees and the school division and then taxpayers, sometimes it becomes like they're two separate groups. They're all the same group.
Mm-hmm.
They're taxpaying citizens, and they all are not only wanting a good quality school system, but they wanted it the best quality at the lowest cost. And I think our employees are the same way. Many of them are also not only employees, but they're recipient of the very services that they provide. You know, many of our teachers, many of our staff have their own children being educated in this school division, and they are having growing families in Spotsylvania County. So again, the investment in people is in many ways a complete payback to the community.
And this does get to be the part where you depend on people to speak out and to speak for public education in Spotsylvania.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm very lucky in the Lee Hill District. We have a lot of vocal parents who are passionate about public school, and they're very helpful in our push to make sure that we retain the level of schools we have and then continue to grow. We want to see these activity buses, this pilot program, reinstated. We want to see our cafeteria monitors approved this year. And again, all of that is our wants right now. We have not approved that. It could come off the table at any time if we have to find a place we have to cut. So we're going to try to make it through this budget season and keep what has been proposed out there, and we're going to see how it goes. But this is the time to speak out. Start showing up at the Board of Supervisors meeting, advocating for your public school system.
Just a couple minutes left. Dr. Baker, how happy are you to see temperatures like they are today and going to be in the 70s, and they're going to go down a little bit but come back up again on the weekend? I just imagine that you just look at each week that goes by and figure it's the sun is getting a little warmer, and you might not have to make those snow decision days.
Well, I can't deny that it's been nice to actually get through more than half of the school year with minimal disruptions. And it's really the disruptions that are the biggest challenge. But I do know that, again, my history is in public education. I have a background in schools. And when I go to schools, a couple years ago, everyone was just wishing the snow would stop. Now, the sentiments are, I wish it would snow, because there is that need sometimes that folks have just to have at least one good snowstorm and get out with their kids and play in it. And so, again, be careful what you wish for. So, we are having some amazing spring-like temperatures, and we're going to take it while we can get it.
I had always blamed you, because ever since you became superintendent, we've had these bad winters, and so I may not be able to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's the curse of Dr. Baker, and I when they have shown the trend, I've sometimes said I'd like to stay as superintendent at least a few more years, so that when if I left right now, they would refer to these as the Baker snow years.
Yeah,
and so I'd rather that not be the legacy, but I am very proud at how our school division has managed what have been some significant winters, and being able to make so many decisions, again, in the best interest of our students and staff for safety. But I'll take as many days as we can get without having to make that call, especially when I come on your show.
Yeah, exactly. Glad to have you here. Good luck with the budget, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Spotsylvania School Superintendent Scott Baker, School Board Vice Chairwoman
Thanks
Amanda
for
Blaylock.
Listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.